Welcome to Exploring Sovereignty with Elizabeth and guest co-host Sharon Crowley. And today we are in studio with the fabulous Dr. Mary Newstrom. And Dr. Mary Newstrom is an internationally known shamanic teacher. She is the founder of Zenith High LLC and the creator of Spirit Flow, a shamanic study program for women. She has studied with unparalleled shamanic teachers in the United States for over 30 years, and Mary works with many shamanic teachers in Peru and has expert experiences that shape her into the shamanic leader she is today. And we are really delighted that you're here with us, so thank you for coming
in studio. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
The feeling's mutual. Welcome. So, Mary, tell us a little bit about how you actually found this path, because I bet our listeners are curious. I know I am.
Well, it's interesting that as a little girl, small child, I was always interested in the metaphysical, paranormal, different dimensions. When I was young, I would read about the Bermuda Triangle. Mm. And back then, there wasn't as many cool books that, you know, kids can read a lot of cool books now about different things.
Indeed.
But back then, there wasn't. And so that was one of the things that there was a lot of books on. And I'd go to the library, and my mom would allow me to pick whatever books I would want to read. And, you know, I think I became a little expert at the Bermuda Triangle, which I think is actually people that disappeared into the different dimensions.
I think you're probably right. And I think it's a powerful vortex.
Yes. And I like to bring that up because the fact that, to me, I see it really kind of related into the work that I'm doing right now. But anyway, so then, you know, I got older, went to the University of Minnesota for my bachelor's degree, and I was going through some of the struggles college kids go through, and at that time, my guide came to me in a dream. So I've been working with my guide since the 80s, and
it's the same guide.
It's the same guide.
Okay.
His name's Zenith. I named my healing practice after him, my home Zenith High. Cool. And he's all excited about that. He was happy about that. And around that time, the message he gave me was the fact that just keep working on your things, keep developing. I also in the 80s got attuned to Reiki. So I've been actually working with energy for a long time. And went on and had traditional jobs and relationships, got my bachelor's degree, master's, PhD. And got introduced to shamanism through my tarot teacher, but that was more in the 90s, and nothing really happened till I traveled to Peru. Mm. So as I was searching for spirituality, and I always felt connected to nature, so it's kind of surprised me that the other nature-based spiritualities didn't really land with me, but shamanism did. So I traveled to Peru, and then I was introduced to the Shipibo shamans and their ceremonies, and really felt like I had arrived home. And that is really where things really took off. In the meantime, too, did things like, you know, got my Reiki master's degree, at the master's level, and studied tarot. So really bringing in a lot of different modalities.
Beautiful. It sounds like lots of streams all kind of came into.
Yes, and traditional and non-traditional. That's why I bring up the fact that I have very traditional types of education. Mm-hmm. Even though with psychology, it was always on what I like to study was health and wellness and building community and social psychology, and really utilize that right now with all my work that I do.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fabulous time to be integrating all those different modalities into a full offering.
Yeah.
So you work closely with both your spirit guides and power animals. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, I too, like, was really attracted to nature and animals and spirit guides. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about, like, how you work with the spirit guides and the power animals?
Sure, sure.
If you don't mind.
No, and I think actually one thing about shamanism, too, just to give people a brief overview of it, it's the oldest spirituality on Earth. It's been practiced everywhere. And so, you know, more than likely, every listener has in their lineage way back a shaman.
Yeah.
And
that's a good point.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think that working with a shamanic healer, they work with their guides a lot. And so think of it like a spiritual team that everybody has, but the shamanic healer has tapped into that, and we're able to go into different dimensions, a different multiverse is what the people like to call it now, and really access people's energy. That's where my guides are, and work on a different plane for healing, sometimes for being able to see what's happening in the future. Mm. And so I work with my guides. I've worked with Zenith since the 80s, and then obviously I've added more guides as I become more specialized. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the power animals. Everybody has a team of guardian angels, spirit guides in human form, spirit animals, power animals, totems, whatever you want to call them. And then also we can work with the energy of plants. And so I have plants that have partnered with me to help me heal people as well.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's stunning.
And I'm going to jump in here.
Yeah, please, Sharon.
I have a question for any of the novices out there, and I'm just wondering, when you work with people, is it part of the process to help them connect to their guides and then have their guides connect with your guides? And, you know, what is that process like for people when they're first just starting this journey?
Absolutely. What it is when they come in for a healing with me, I work primarily with my guides and their guides, and yes, I help them connect with theirs. When they join my shamanic training program, my number one goal is to have them discover their own guides, be able to communicate, and start that relationship with their own spiritual team. And that's why it's very powerful when people know how to journey, and they come back and say, hey, I've met my spirit animal, it's XYZ or whatever, and I'm developing a relationship with that guide. I'm able to tell people who their spirit animals are, but it's more powerful teaching them how to access them, how to ask questions, and ask for healings from their own guides.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would imagine that you come across all different types of people with different backgrounds, and therefore that has to kind of shape their perception of what their guide or their totem might be. And then when they actually experience it, I would imagine in many cases that's vastly different and so transformational and exciting for them.
Absolutely. My experience has been that the guides are really like we are, pure light. So on the other side, they're light, and how they manifest how they present themselves to us is also in a way that one that also I've found that tends to follow in people's backgrounds. For example, if someone's working with me and they had a Catholic or Christian background, they may see more of their guides in like Mary or Christ. Like if someone has more of a different type of background, they may present as like Tara or Isis. Hmm. So in some ways it blows people away regardless, because they know it's a real experience. But also what I've found is that the universe is presenting in a way that people have a reference point as well.
And I also think, you know, something that you casually mentioned, but it maybe was worth highlighting, is that invitation to develop a relationship mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. the guides that come forward with you, whether mm-hmm. it's a spirit animal or a spirit guide. Mm-hmm. And I know there's as many ways to develop relationships as there are guides, but mm-hmm. are there some common practices that you offer or encourage people that are maybe starting out on that journey?
Absolutely. I encourage my students to journey, which is a shamanic meditative technique, and to journey, go into the different dimension, and access them that way. And in shamanic terms, they call we call the different dimensions the upper world, the middle world, and the lower world. Mm-hmm. And so students studying with me, I want them to have a strong bond that they can access these different realms. And come back safely, go into them, come back safely, and maybe get answers to a question, meet their spiritual team, and just start working with them so that they know that who their team members are. As students progress along with me and I'm teaching them more advanced shamanic healing techniques like a soul retrieval, for example, there's a very specific guide we get to help with us do that. And so that you have your general guides, generalist guides,
yep.
and you have your specialist guides. And so that's why it's important as you progress and go deeper with this modality, if you're going to be a student of it, to be able to access those different dimensions.
And when you said the upper world, the middle world, and the lower world, mm-hmm. does that correlate at all with, like, the superconscious, the conscious, and the subconscious? Not so much?
Not in shamanic terms, but everybody is making different connections, and possibly it did. Mm-hmm. There is, in the foundational books about shamanism, they don't make those connections. Also, of course, a lot of times people are like, well, the upper world's like a heaven. Not really. So mm-hmm. it's in some ways, when we think about dimensions, they titled it upper world, middle world, and lower world. But in some ways, it's almost all here. So
right.
it's an interesting topic. So I just tell people to stay open with it. And if someone's fearful, oh, I don't want to go to the lower world because that means in my reality, I've been taught that's negative. That's incorrect. And mm-hmm. that is a beautiful place to be as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Were you about to hop in, Sharon?
I was getting excited about asking all kinds of things and was trying to temper
I could
it.
Feel it. Go.
I believe you do different. You offer different things, such as like cacao ceremonies and dimensional and mystical ceremonies. But I was also percolating about how do we wrap Bermuda back into it. so if it's one of those things, I'm sure as we're winding up this segment, maybe. We can touch on some of those things in the next one.
I'm glad you brought that up and we looped back because
indeed.
It's the dimensional. As a kid, being interested in different dimensions.
Mm.
And really with shamanism, that is the key, is being able to access safely mm-hmm. different dimensions, come back safely, go into a different dimension for healing. Way back when, shamanism was also used for more divination, like, hey, when is it going to rain? When should we do the harvest? There is still divination within shamanism. We can get information up. We don't use it, obviously, for the climate things, but maybe we should. Maybe we should. Yeah.
Because I'm manifesting clear skies right now with a lot of, like, pristine light out there.
Yeah. And so with the Bermuda Triangle, I think that it just as I reflected back on that as an adult, I was like, this is why I'm interested also in the different dimensional work. And I do have workshops where I take people into different dimensions, and they the transformations and what gets revealed is amazing. They get introduced to their spirit guides and spirit animals. And also, I invite a beloved healed ancestor that has maybe passed to come and visit with them. And so I've had people, many people say, I haven't seen my mother in 20 years and I visited with her in this workshop, or I had a beloved dog that I felt like crawled into my lap and was hanging out with me. Hmm. So it is mind blowing. Some of the experiences.
I would, yeah, that's lovely. I was thinking about my beloved dog from childhood, mm-hmm. who I think has reincarnated as my current dog.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, and I just want to throw it out there that I, too, was completely obsessed with the Bermuda Triangle and wrote an entire report back in, I want to say, third grade on it.
So I was, I've been more recently obsessed, but also was curious about it as a kid. So it's interesting that we are all here together.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
No coincidences. This is Exploring Sovereignty with Elizabeth and guest co-host Sharon Crowley from the Ohm Center of Healing and Dr. Mary Newstrom with Zenith High. We'll be back. Sovereignty with Elizabeth and guest co-host Sharon Crowley from the Ohm Center of Healing. And we're in studio today with the fabulous Dr. Mary Newstrom from Zenith High. And we've traversed some ground and some dimensions in mm-hmm. segment one. And out of curiosity, I thought we could kind of dive into how sovereignty plays a role in shamanic healing.
Oh, 100%. I'm glad you brought that up because it's not a topic that many people talk about. Mm-hmm. And I was excited when I saw the name of your show. in my shamanic world, my mentor talks about it a lot. Her name's Betsy Bergstrom. And it's because shamanically, we know that energy can get attached to us. Mm-hmm. And I've studied with Sandra Ingerman, and she talks a lot about these poisonous darts coming at us and sticking to us. But what we need to really be more aware of is the energy that might have a consciousness, meaning an unhealed ancestor or unhealed mm-hmm. energy that is stuck, that is overshadowing our sovereignty in who we are.
Yeah, informing probably even our beliefs, our issues, Can behaviors,
be. Yep.
if we let that linger or yes. be part of our energy field.
Because, yes.
I think we share some overlap here in what we study.
Absolutely.
And I've found, and I think you have too, and Sharon, you as well, that ideally we just have our energy in our energy field, as bright as it can be, as potent, mm-hmm. as strong, as stable, mm-hmm. as steady.
Yeah. And using some good spiritual hygiene, meaning
yes.
that you're cleaning yourself, cleansing yourself, and energy can get attached because, let's say you have a few bad habits. I like to eat too much sugar. And so there might be some energy mm-hmm. floating around that likes that, but what can happen is then they can really double down and make you do more of that bad habit. Mm. And so it's just really important to be cleansing yourself, going and seeing practitioners, being in your body, doing yoga, to really make sure that your true essence is coming out, you have free will, and you know, I come from a background of psychology, all my bachelor's, master's, and PhD, all in psychology. And I squarely fall into the locus of internal control. Now, that's a very – what does that mean? That's a technical word. I know what it means pretty well because I've studied it for so many years. It basically means that, you know, I am creating my universe. I am creating my destiny, and sovereignty is so important mm. when you have that type of philosophy. And so with my students, we talk a lot about that. We talk about shamanic manifesting. How do we manifest what we want? Obviously, the hard work has to come. You just cannot sit there and dream. So you have to temper that. And sovereignty not being overshadowed by any other energy. And by the way, obviously, we could then expand this conversation to mean if people are on this dimension, are they overshadowing you in a different way too? So, you know, that
sure.
I'm sure that you could have many, many shows on this topic.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And feel free to go where you want to go with it at the moment.
Okay. A great topic, though.
Well, and I find that when I'm working with people, I, you know, work with their vibe and their frequency. And I find that when they're in a lower vibration, that they're much more susceptible yes. to other people's energy. And, you know, their field is more open for negative things to jump in. However, when I'm talking to people, not always are they aware or familiar with some of the warning signs that this may not be your stuff, mm-hmm. this may not be your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find it really interesting that you're working with it. And then when you threw in the dimensional part of it, that definitely, that's a whole nother salad. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. And actually, students that are in year three of my program, I teach everything I do, by the way. So I don't hold back. I'm not, you know, I'm not that type of teacher.
I'm the same way. I love it.
So anything that, because people are like, oh, well, I'd be learning that. Anything that I know, I'm going to teach.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you're going to learn it in year one, obviously.
So how many years? Just back up for a second.
Let me talk about spirit flow, because it does tack into that, the spirit release. But when I got a download when I was in Peru working with the Shipibo shamans, go back to the Midwest and create this healing center, Zenith High. And at first I pushed back because this is how I see my friends and people I know is there's a lot of healers. Like our listeners, you guys, there's a lot of mm-hmm. healers. And so when I asked, well, what niche or what will be a way that I can serve people better, my guides were like, you'll do cacao ceremonies. And we can talk about that in a little bit. So that I came back, started doing that. And then I got the download of come back and start spirit flow. So the whole structure of spirit flow, shamanic study program for women, was created out of a download. But it came first as a 1 year. And when I got done teaching students the 1 year, they were like, oh, no. We know you know more. We want more. And so now it has expanded to a 4-year program. When you end the 4 years, you get a certificate of completion. And I want to say something. When I studied with Sandra Ingerman closely for a couple of years, and I follow in her tradition of I will not say congratulations, you're a shaman, because that's only between you, your guides, higher power, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I can give you a certificate of completion. I can make sure you know the foundational and the advanced techniques of shamanism. So that's my philosophy. And some teachers are different. They'll say, congratulations, you're this. And it's like, no, you completed it. You decide what you want to call it.
Well, and taking that approach, it's like you allow the person to become instead of this, I think, of the approach of doing. Like, okay, check, I've gotten my next degree or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the 4 years are – the first year is them where they're – really looking at the foundational aspects of shamanism. They get to know who their spiritual team is. They start working with the plants. We really connect with cacao, the spirit of chocolate. Why not? You know, a group of women. Why wouldn't we do that? So it's I can go on and on about how I created a dieta, a cleanse, all around cacao. And we'll talk about that too. Mind-blowing, transformational, even surprised me. So the first year is really them getting a dabble of everything, like learning how to do shamanic dream reentry to getting different guides, who's on their spiritual team, connecting with nature. The second year is looking at what does it mean to be a spiritual leader, or if you want to term it activists, or what does it mean to be spiritual in this world? So now you're looking at more community. And then they start getting a dabble of basic shamanic healings, how to remove stuck energy. And we end year two with examining living a good and full life so that when we do transition, we all go to where we need to go. And in shamanic terms, that's called psychopomp work.
Okay.
The third year is all the advanced classes, spirit release, which sometimes people call depossession, soul retrieval, thought form and curse unraveling. Every student gets taught how to do those. Some immediately start doing them in the practice. Others just kind of put them in their toolbox for maybe later. And then that fourth year is more review, apprenticeship, training in whatever they need, really just pulling everything together, and then they end the year with their certificate.
And do you have people starting every fall at different points?
Actually, every spring.
Every spring. Because with the new year.
Yeah. What happened was when my guides were like, okay, you can start in April or you can start in February. And I'm like, I'm from Minnesota. I'm not starting anything in February. So
you do have those first whispers of spring if you pay attention that happen in February. Mm-hmm. But you have to, as a Minnesotan, you need to pay attention. Yeah. Because it will be that first few days in like early to mid-February where it's damp and things start to melt.
Yes.
But then usually in Minnesota, we double down.
We double down with more snow. I do have people that travel. And by the way, this is hybrid. So anybody listening to this, you can – I have people – it's international. I have people in other countries Zooming in. If you're local or you're close enough, I do have people that travel 2-3 hours to come to the trainings. It's a day-long training every other month with lots of assignments and homework and Zoom check-ins and trainings in between. But I do have people from across the United States and internationally that are students.
Awesome. Well, Sharon, you had a good question on break that you were bringing forward, and we'll bring the listeners into it, but about what people are searching for in today's world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would love to get into that because I'm curious with everything that you do and all of this wonderful, I don't even know where to start with it, but I am curious how it has changed for you and your students as they're moving through with this last 3 years and wondering, you know, if you're seeing, looking for purpose or asking deeper questions than perhaps people were even 4 or 5 years ago. I would imagine, I'm wondering, is it morphing throughout, you know, as time is going on and things are becoming more available to us?
Absolutely. The nice thing was that my program was already hybrid before the pandemic, so I pivoted very quickly and we just did everything on Zoom. But now we've gone back. And before, actually, it wasn't hybrid before the pandemic. It was like I would have Zoom check-ins and then I'd have in person. What happened out of that was the great opportunity where I kept everything hybrid. I would say people – the women that join Spiritful and then the men and women that come to my workshops or go travel with me to Peru to work with my shamans, by the way, I go every July if you're interested.
Awesome.
They are looking for they're looking for two things. What is my soul's purpose? I want to really utilize this life in achieving what I was meant to come down you know, they're searching. So they're like, I'm not quite sure what it is. You know, I'm in this corporate job, pays the bills, have to stay there for now. But, you know, can you help me figure that out? And then two, they're looking for community. Hmm. And right. My training programs provide that because I have over 80 women in Spirit Flow at some part of the program. But yeah, they can't go home and talk about these things. This is what they tell me. It's hard for me to talk to people about like my spirit animal because they look at me like, well, not in the program, not in my training.
Yeah. I mean, you're bringing some of the mystical, some of the magic and, you know, powerful, profound ways back online for a lot of, it's like a deep remembrance, it sounds
like. Yes. Yeah.
Which is important.
The offering the community piece for people, I think, is so important, especially after what we've all been through. And I do know that when I get to talk to somebody who's like-minded about these things, oh, my goodness, it's so exciting. There's not enough hours in the day to be able to connect with community. So I think it's wonderful that you're providing that.
Thank you.
For sure. And so talk to us a little bit. You mentioned, you know, Spirit Flow is for women and it's a 4-year program, but then you also have workshops where men and women.
Absolutely.
Where everyone's welcome.
Yep.
And so can you talk a little bit about those?
Yep. Also, I want to say that I am I've tried to launch a Spirit Flow for men, and I just need to get more men that are interested. So if that interests you, if you're a guy out there and that interests you, reach out.
Awesome.
Yeah. But I do have workshops.
I support that invitation.
Yes. Yeah. And and by the way, I gave it lots of thought about just limiting my Spirit Flow for women. If you're interested, we can go into that later. But I do have workshops, and I travel a lot to different wellness fairs. I have keynote speaking gigs coming up. But one that is in the Midwest is actually on October 15th. It's in Hudson, Wisconsin, and it's a ceremony we're going to do. There's a vortex in a park. We're going to do some ceremonial work. I'm going to take people into a different dimension to experience that vortex, and it's going to be lovely. And that's open to men and women. All my other events are open to both genders or non-binary. And traveling to Peru, I would encourage you, if you're interested in studying with the shamans that I've studied with since 2015, I've vetted them. They are wonderful. It's safe. And they happen to be women, too. And that's unusual for an experience in Peru where it's women shamans.
That is unusual. Because my experience has been...
I know. It's very male-dominated still.
Yep.
And when I came back, what happened was when I was in Peru working with these women shamans is that I came back looking for... more of a woman that was teaching shamanism, and because it's still male dominated, soon figured out, oh, I was looking for myself. And that started birthing Spirit Flow too. So I got the download, but I also got the, oh, you're looking for yourself. I guess I'm just going to have to do it.
I love it.
Melanie, got it.
Yep. Yeah. Well, we are going to continue this conversation and continue to find ourselves. Because that's often who we're looking for, isn't it? As we explore sovereignty with guest co-host Sharon Crawley and Dr. Mary Newstrom. This is Elizabeth. Exploring Sovereignty with Elizabeth and guest co-host Sharon Crawley from the Ohm Center of Healing, and we're in studio with Dr. Mary Newstrom from High Zenith. And if you are listening as part of this community of Exploring Sovereignty and you're anything like Sharon was, trying to figure out where is Mary, like, how can I find Dr. Mary Newstrom in these events she was just talking about, and she was resisting Googling while we were on show. Mary, can you share?
Sure, absolutely. The best way is my website, zenithhigh.com, ZENITHHIGH.com. And as I said, that's because of my first guide that came to me in 82, his name's Zenith. He actually, in the dream, was like, my name's Zenith.
I love it.
And it also means highest point in the sky. So Zenith High. You can text me. Text is always best than a call, 952-913-5574. But my background and my classes are listed on my website. If you click on Shamanic Study, it gives you that overview of that first year of Spirit Flow, even a way to apply.
And all your events are listed
all my
there.
Events. You scroll down, and it says sessions or events coming up, and it's all listed there. One event that I want to really make sure that I mention is what we talked about, Peru. But I have a retreat coming up in November, November 8th through the 12th, with Kelly Wagner from The Edge magazine and the Being Curious show.
And love Kelly.
And it's going to be spectacular. It's right over 1111. And so we're going to be doing dimensional work, psychic work, psychic medium work. That's where Kelly specializes in. I'm going to be doing cacao ceremonies, day trip to Sedona. So check
where
it out.
Where is that retreat hosted? In Arizona?
It's hosted in Arizona at Blistopia Retreat Center. If you contact me, I can send you information. Price point's really good. It's 1444. angel number.
Love it.
And check it out. We'd love to have everyone there. We're half full already. So check out for availability, but there'll be more options and opportunities for retreats.
Indeed. That's beautiful. And thank you so that mm-hmm. people don't have to be searching you up. Mm-hmm. Although you should search her up if... But I'm glad to give the resource. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit, if you don't mind, some of what your work shines a light on. I mean, we've spoken to some of this.
Well, I think sovereignty. I think mm-hmm. that it shines a light on how we can really be in our own power. I know that when people start working with me, we see changes maybe in relationships or how they address things in the world because they're more in their power. One thing that I do that as people are, as soon as they're getting to know their spirit animals, is I really encourage them. What my guides have told me is that the energy is changing and no longer are maybe some of the old ideas of what an animal meant spiritually in the past are totally 100% accurate for every individual. Now, let me explain what that means. Mm. It means that cacao ceremony, I teach people how to go to the lower world and find their spirit animals, okay? Mm-hmm. And when they come back, people are all excited. It's like, I saw my spirit animal. I saw a guy, an owl. I saw a bird. I saw a bear. I saw a chipmunk. Because, you know, spirit animals can be anything. Mm-hmm. And what I really encourage people to do is to make a list of what are the attributes of that animal here in this dimension. Let's, for example, Elizabeth, what if I say bear, what do you think about?
Well, immediately that comes to my mind is this polar bear.
Oh, interesting.
And like a lot of strength. Mm-hmm. Being able to traverse different landscapes, mm-hmm. so being flexible and adaptable to yeah. land and water
wow.
and elements.
And if you said bear to me, I wouldn't have gone there because I would have thought maybe like black or brown bear.
Sure.
And I might have thought slow moving, maybe motherly, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is I just wanted to highlight this point that if you got bear – you went down to the lower world. Mary, I got bear. See how different the qualities are and mm-hmm. the attributes. Okay, what I really want my students to be in their own power. So they come back, they write down their attributes of the animal in this dimension. And by the way, sometimes they don't even know what that is. So they can look up the animal, by the way. Like if mm-hmm. they get an animal, they don't, like aardvark. You know, you might have to look that up.
Sure.
What I shine the light on is the power that we have as individuals. And so they write down the attributes of the spirit animal. That's the medicine mm-hmm. that the animal's bringing to them as being their power animal. Then if people want to look up what someone else decided it meant, they can. I have to say I get a lot of pushback. People don't want – I think we're used to kind of giving up our power, not standing in our sovereignty.
I agree.
Yeah. And so – but that's one thing I shine the light on is definitely a new way, a new modern type of looking at shamanism and what the messages we're getting. It's very contemporary, very modern, obviously still following all the foundational aspects of things.
I think that's a wonderful piece to bring in because it's not something I think people are comfortable always taking a step back and saying, what resonates with me? Mm-hmm. Like, what am I feeling about this? Or mm-hmm. what do I feel like? What attributes may apply to me? Which ones may not? Or even, those are wonderful attributes. I would aspire to resonate with those things. And maybe they just haven't connected with that part of themselves yet that does resonate with the, you know, those wonderful aspects. So I think it's great that you're asking them to go within.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Agreed. And I also think it speaks and highlights something of our current time that people are healing collectively is that yep. idea that we are programmed to give our power to authority or someone who knows better mm-hmm. or has studied longer, mm-hmm. or has trained or taught or insert expert. And I think the more we come home to ourselves and that inner wisdom and inner gnosis and are seated in ourselves, I mean, we're powerful beyond our imagination when we start to tap into that inner landscape and still are optimally connected to that, you know, in harmony or finding harmony with our outer world.
Agree. Yeah.
So many places to go. At least that's what I felt in that silence.
Yeah. Well, I'm also kind of switching gears. I'm also very curious about what the cacao ceremony is used for.
Mm. Yeah. And like I said, when I had attended cacao ceremonies in Peru, and when my guides were like, hey, hold cacao ceremonies. Then I had to think, well, what does that mean? Because,
sure.
I mean, everybody does it differently. So I'm at this the retreat center.
Is this the main plant you work with is cacao?
Here in the States, yes.
Okay.
In Peru, it's ayahuasca.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm at the retreat center in Peru. And before I started taking trips, it would be me and you know, young people. So I was always the cool aunt. So here's Mary and then all these young people. In the 20s, you know, backpacking through Peru. And this is obviously before the pandemic. And so when I got the download, hey, run cacao ceremonies, I'm like, ooh, okay. And I actually was like, oh, I can do that, but what does that mean? So then I asked this one young guy, and I said, well, I know you do cacao ceremonies. What do you do? Oh, I'm in California, so I, you know, they're an all-night thing. We have music, and we throw fire, and we, you know, all. And I'm like, that's not going to work for me. So I'm like, nah, I'm in Minnesota, middle-aged woman, no. And then I talked to a guy more closer to my age from out east who was at this retreat center, and he kind of laid out how he did it. And I thought, oh, that might work. And then I adapted it for me. So what to answer your question, what it is – cacao is the first ingredient of chocolate. So there's no additives to it. It's quite bitter. If anybody has had any tasted like cooking chocolate, it kind of is like that. Mm-hmm. And when people come, I prepare a nice cup of it. They drink it. What it is it has a history of being used in ceremony in Peru. It was known as the food of the gods. It was really used as a heart opener. So it energetically opens the heart and the high heart. So people feel a little buzzing. They feel like in a little openness. And that helps you connect to spirit. So people come in ceremony. We open up ceremony. I give them the cacao. They're drinking it. I talk to them about how to do a shamanic journey. When they're ready, we go on a 20-minute journey. They go down to the lower world. They find their animal. They come back. They're all excited. Oh, I got all these, you know. I got platypus. Oh, my God. I don't know what that means, but oh, my God, I got it. And then we talk about the interpretation. You've already heard me, my philosophy. So we talk a little bit about that. And then how to how to honor their first team member that they know about on their spiritual team. Because everybody, you know, has a lot of guardian angels, spirit guides, power animals. And when people start working with me, they get the spirits of plants. The first one would be cacao, that then starts working with you and helping guide you, heal you, and so on.
And you mentioned the cacao opens the heart and the high heart. And for some people who might be curious, what's the high heart?
That is actually more of a connection to different dimensions, to your higher power spirit guides.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. There's gems in here that we just don't want to roll over for the community. Mm-hmm. For sure. That's lovely. So you found your own way to offer the cacao ceremonies, and you invite people into their own sovereignty and power about how they interpret and how they work with the medicine of these spirit animals, spirit guides, power animals that they journey and meet, which is often within us, right?
Yes.
So much of what we are looking for is within us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other ways for people to stay connected to you. Like you have a newsletter that you send out.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want to really invite people to go to zenithhigh.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a pop-up that says, sign up for Mary's newsletter. Sign up, because that is the best way. I am on Facebook. That one is – I keep up with it, but not as much as with the newsletter. You'll get a newsletter once, maybe twice a month. If you're really active on it and you're clicking on a lot of things, you might get some special offers that way. That's the best way to stay up on all my mystical retreats I have. Peru 2024, it'll be in July. If anybody wants to, they could squeeze in for the 2023 trip. We're starting on the 18th in Tarapoto, Peru. Contact me for the details of that. But 2024 will be open in this fall for registration. I have the Blistopia Retreat Center. We're going for a breakthrough retreat in November. And also, there's all these healing fairs all around. I'll be actually in Deadwood. I'll be the keynote speaker. There's a mycelium conference in Wisconsin.
My ancestry's from Deadwood.
Whoa. And there's a mycelium conference in Wisconsin. I'm a presenter there. I'm going to be taking people through a dimensional workshop to connect with the spirit of different types of mushrooms.
Oh,
I know. I know. One thing I want to mention, too, I'm not going to be at this event, but my students will be, my year three and four-year students and graduates, Women in Spiritualities Conference in Rochester, and it's September 23rd and 24th. Check it out if you Google Women in Spirituality, Rochester 2023.
That's Rochester, Minnesota.
Rochester, Minnesota. But check it out, and then definitely if you go, stop by the Zenith High Spirit Flow table and say hi to my students and sign up. They're doing great divination. They're doing they are doing what's called a flower divination. They look at flowers and they answer questions you may have.
Oh, beautiful.
And intuitive paintings. All these great things with shamanic
intention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that you say when we're free of energy that is draining us and we're able to move into our soul purpose, and living in spiritual flow is an ultimate way of becoming free.
Absolutely.
That's
Thank
stunning
you.
And beautiful. Give Thank us your website you. One more time.
Zenithhigh.com. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Mary Newstrom. Thank you, Sharon Crowley. It's been a delight to explore sovereignty with you today, and may it inspire everyone to explore their pathway of becoming free, authentically themselves, and wholeheartedly brave.